This morning I'd like to read from Titus, the second chapter and the seventh verse. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're made for more. You know, sometimes we get comfortable and maybe even a little bit satisfied with where we're at, but there isn't a person in this room that has arrived just yet. Brother Krill we were talking about the steeple, and I was looking up there. We were standing outside, and the thing needs to be cleaned, and we've been drawing straws and seeing who's going to get to climb up there and do it. But there's a gift in the Bible that we don't lump into to the nine gifts of the Spirit. But evidently, if you feel like you've arrived and you have not done this yet, you need to just keep praying, keep showing up, keep living for God, because there's a place in the Bible where a man was transported from one place to the next. He flew from one place to the next. He's the only person in the Bible that ever did that. So if you have not obtained that level of spirituality yet, we've still got to keep trying, keep working, keep praying. And if that ever happens to you, I had one lady told me that she could do that. So I said, well, praise the Lord. That's awesome. You're the only person I've met and that could do that. She called it Zooming with Jesus. But I had my doubts. But Titus chapter 2, verse 7, it says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, how powerful and awesome would that be, that if somebody examined your life, if the people that you work with examined your life like they examined Daniel and said, the greatest problem that we can find of this person, the only thing that they might be at fault at, is that they love their God too much. That was the only weakness. That was the only problem that they could find. And so he's speaking to Titus here, and he's talking about showing thyself a pattern of good works. He says in 1 Timothy, he says it again in a different way, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. That your life is to be an example to everybody that is around you. Lord Jesus, we ask you today that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that your anointing would move and flow in this house, God, that you would speak to us this morning. Lord God, that you would challenge us, oh God, that we would be better than what we are, that we would leave this place with an idea of something more that we want, God, that we would live at a higher level than we live. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. My brother runs an oil field company, and the other day he called me, and you would think that with the oil field the way that it is right now, that people would be showing up to work, they would be the best hand that they could be, that they wouldn't be, no funny business would be going on, but they would be working. It would be, they're making sure they keep that job, he said. But it's amazing the stuff that you run into. It's amazing some of the situations that people that have good jobs that should want to hold on to those good jobs, the situations that you find them in. He said his big boss called him from Houston the other day and said, and he works for General Electric, and so one of the main bosses for General Electric and their division called, and he said, I sent you an email. I want you to look at this email and tell me if you recognize anybody in this email. And so he opens the email up, and it's a video, and he hits the video, and And it's obviously one of their trucks. They called it a 550. It has a man lift on the back of it, a big boom. And it's obviously one of their trucks. And there's a guy sitting in the front seat, and he's videoing the road. They're going down a dirt road out in front of them. And all of a sudden, he's laughing and hee-hawing, and he turns to the driver's seat, and there's nobody in the driver's seat. The truck is headed down this dirt road, and they're laughing, and nobody's in the driver's seat. The cruise control is set, and all of a sudden, the door opens up, and there's a guy outside just running next to the truck. And they're laughing and having a big time with it, and finally, he gets in the truck, and they're high-fiving and making a big deal about it and having a big time. And they take off down the road. Well, the guy posts this video on Facebook for all of his friends to see. And so the big boss evidently has somebody that likes to browse the Facebook world and make sure that all of their workers are doing good. And so these two young men were fired because of the horseplay that they were doing on work. Some folks are just consistently inconsistent. It doesn't matter what you think that needs to happen. It doesn't matter what needs to happen. You can pretty much know what's going to happen because of the consistency level that they have in their life. It doesn't matter what's going on in their life. It doesn't matter what's happening. You can pretty much guarantee you're going to get the same thing all the time. I was talking to a manager that they were dealing with a situation in North Dakota, and North Dakota's in all kinds of a bind for jobs up there now because of the oil situation, and they were just showing up to a site. There was a big warehouse that there wasn't a lot in it at the time, but they kept everybody hired, hoping that the things were going to change. And so they show up at the site and they walk into the warehouse. They were having to do some computer work and fix a few things, and they show up. They can't find any of the workers. There's 20-something men that work here, and they can't find any of the workers. They're looking for them. They're trying to find them. They finally go into the warehouse, and they look around, and a bunch of grown men have on big masks. They've got their paintball guns. The warehouse is covered in paintballs from one end to the other end, all over the wall. And these guys have been playing paintball the last couple of weeks, all day, every day, just having a good time with nobody there to watch over them, and nobody, the manager, everybody's out there, all geared up, got the warehouse maneuvered and set up, and doing tactical work, and just having a big time with it. And the problem is this company has nowhere in their rule book that you cannot bring a paintball gun to work and have a paintball war inside one of the warehouses. So now they're trying to figure out how they're going to lay these guys off legally, because there's nowhere in their manual that says you can't play paintball in a warehouse in North Dakota. Some folks, it doesn't matter what's going on. You can expect if they're left unattended that there might be some horseplay going on. My poor Jackson, he's going to have a rough life because he wants everybody to like him, but he also wants to be the boss, and it's hard to be both. And so we had him at swim lessons this last week, and so they wouldn't let the parents come until Thursday. So Thursday I show up, and we'd always checked in on him every day and made sure and talked to her, made sure he was doing good. But she said, "Oh, he's my favorite." He shows up and says, "I'm here, everybody." And he lets the world know that he's arrived, and now they can go into whatever they were doing. But he follows the rules to a T. That one of the kids got to acting up, and he turned around and looked at him, and he pointed his finger at him. He said, "You heard Miss Allie, no horsey play. Stop it right now." And so he's making sure that everybody's in their place and doing what they're doing. Consistency is something that has to be a part of our walk with God. If you want to go to the next level, if you're tired of where you are, if you're frustrated with a walk with God that you have, you've got to understand that you can't have a successful close walk with God with inconsistency being a part of your walk with God. You can't just be what God wants you to be and be inconsistent. Be in one week, be out the next week. Be in one week and you wonder why you deal with so much shame, and you wonder why you don't feel the presence of God when you come to church, because you got to wade through all of the junk and you just sit there and you give Satan all kinds of ammo to use. Why don't you shoot that one at me for a while? And I'm going to do this. And then here, you've got about a month's worth of ammo to lay that one on me, this one could probably last for a year. That's going to be a good one, Satan. You keep hold of that one, because for about a year you're going to be able to hold this one over my head. And it's because we can be in one week and we can be out the next week. We can be on fire one Sunday and out the next Sunday, and we can be on fire for about 6 months and then it just kind of fades off, and it could be a year before you come back around to that place again. There, you've got to understand that in order for you to live a successful life, I was talking to somebody last night, and there, it just seems like there's so many ups and downs and ups and downs. And I said, here's the deal. When you really start getting a hold of your relationship with God, and you really start living for God, and you start living for God with your whole heart, and you start putting everything that you've got into it, those ups and downs aren't as much as they used to be, because a lot of the downs that we have are downs of our own fault. Now, if something bad happens in the family, if somebody passes away, if you get a sickness, those are going to be downs, but those are not downs of your own fault. But most of the downs that we experience are because of our own decision making. It's because we made those decisions, and why is my life so bad? And I'm sitting over there thinking, like, whoa, are you surprised? Or why would you think that it wouldn't be bad? You make enough bad decisions, you're going to have a bad life. It's going to be rough. And so you've got to make sure that you make good decisions, that there's got to be consistency in our lives. In 1 Chronicles 28 and 6, this is God speaking to David about Solomon. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. And then there's a clause. If he be consistent. I want to be your child. I want to be your son. I want to be mightily used of you. I want you to be able to use me for the glory of your kingdom. And God looks at the smartest man on the planet and tells David, I've chosen your son. I've chosen him to build my house. He's going to be my son if he be consistent to do my commandments and my judgment as at this day. There's something about being consistent. There's something about it that is important to God, that if you have a trip up, if something happens and you got to get back up and just take off again, you can't let yourself go all the way back to the bottom of that valley. In our own minds, we just keep going all the way to the bottom, and it takes us 6 months to dig ourselves back out. If something happens, if you trip up, if you just got to get back up and realize I hit a bump in the road, and I've got to keep living at the same level. I've got to keep cruising at this altitude. I might have hit a patch. I might have dropped a few feet, but I'm not going to the bottom. This isn't a crash. This isn't fatal. I've got to get back up and keep it at this altitude. I've got to keep cruising at this altitude. It's in Luke 3 that says, bear fruits that are deserving and consistent with your repentance. This is in the Amplified Version. He's saying, bear fruits that are deserving and consistent. There's something about being consistent that you don't go out and you wouldn't go down to the hospital and say, hey, I want you have a doctor around here that's pretty good some of the time, but he's got a bad chance of being inconsistent maybe 1 week out of the month. That's the guy I'm looking for right there. That's the one I want. I got a bad ticker, and I want him to get in there and play around for a little while. I'm looking for that one. I'm hoping that it's going to be a good week. We're taking a gamble here, but that's the one that I'm looking for. You've got legal troubles. You don't go down and begin to look for. I was looking for a doctor this week, and for one of the boys, he was sick, and I'm going and trying to read reviews, and I'm not looking for reviews that said, well, this one's office staff is terrible, and this was a terrible experience, and it's good most of the time. You're looking for somebody that they've got 5 stars every time. Oh, that looks good. That I like that. Okay, that sounds good. That's what I want to do. That's where I need to go. And sometimes we expect that out of everybody else. We'll expect more out of our neighbor than we expect out of ourselves. Don Shula was one of the greatest football coaches that have ever coached. They said that one of the reasons that he was so successful was because he was so consistent. He was there every day. He worked every time. He knew more about what was going on than anybody else. He made sure that even though he'd never played football before, even though that he was an old man and couldn't run routes and show them how it was to be done, that he had everything set up and ready to go. He missed one day of work in 24 years because his Achilles blew out walking across the field, and he had surgery that night and was back at work on a golf cart the next morning. And they said it was because the consistency level was kept so high. There was a consistency there that you knew what you were going to get. When you came to work, you knew what was to be expected of you. When you showed up, you knew what your job was supposed to be. That there was a level of consistency that was lived to that created this great coach, that created this great career. Samson was consistently inconsistent. You knew what you were going to get every time Samson showed up, because whatever was going on, it was going to be all about him. It was just going to be about Samson. Whatever was happening in Samson's life, that's just what was going to, it was all about Samson. If he found a new girlfriend, that was the most important thing in the world. If he found something that he'd rather be doing, it was always about him. You understood that when you went and talked to Samson about something, you could pretty much understand that whatever happens in this conversation, when it's over, it's still going to be pretty much all about Samson. He was consistently all about himself. He was consistently inconsistent. Saul's problem was that he was consistently inconsistent. That you knew what you were going to get. Saul was only worried about himself. He was so worried about himself that anybody around him that had any kind of anointing or ability, he was afraid of them. I love you one week, David. I want to kill you the next week. Oh, Jonathan, my son, the next day he's throwing a javelin across the room trying to pin his own boy to the wall. You never knew where he was going to be. In his emotions, one day he was up and the next day he was down. One day he was up and the next day I worked with a girl one time, and you never knew what was going to happen. You tiptoed into the room. She was the secretary that sat at the front desk, and you had to pass her every time that you came in, and you never knew what you were going to get. She might get up and give you a hug one day, and the next day she'd get up and try to eat your ear off. And nothing had changed. You just didn't know. And we'd all laugh. We'd walk by and be like, whew, there she goes. Look out, she's coming back. And you just never knew where she was going to be. She was consistently inconsistent. You never knew where she was going to be. You never knew where she was going to stand on the situation. That we've got to understand that in our walk with God, we've got to be consistent. Because consistency will save you. Consistency will protect you. Consistency will create a fence around about you. It doesn't matter if everything is sliding the wrong way. If you feel like you're on ice and you're just spinning wheels, a routine of consistency will slow the slide. It might be the darkest days of your life, but if you've got a routine of consistency in your life, you're not going to the bottom. You're not going all the way to the bottom of that hill. There's something about it, that consistency, that routine that you've got. Hey, I might have lost a little ground. I might be going through some dark days, but because of the consistency that I've developed in my life, Steph Curry was the MVP of basketball this year. They just lost Game 7 to Cleveland just this last week, and And Steph Curry, last year they were playing New Orleans, and it was the first round of the playoffs. They won the championship last year, and I believe it was game three, and they were down 8-5, and he went down, he took a shot, it bounced off the rim. The guy that got the rebound turned around and threw it right back to Steph Curry. Now, if this guy just missed a shot, maybe we should go try somebody else. If his luck's bad, maybe we should take it to another place and let somebody else see how their luck is. We'll send it out to Thompson over here. We'll send it out to somebody else and see if their luck's any better. He gets the rebound, turns around, throws it right back to Steph Curry. Steph Curry's got two guys running at him right in his face. He jumps up, and a guy's hand is in his face. He's being fouled, and with his eyes closed, he shoots a three-pointer with his eyes closed. You can Google it, not right now, but when you get home. I thought about putting a picture up there for y'all. But he's got his eyes closed, and he's shooting the ball, and he makes it. And you say, oh, well, that's luck. Well, the problem is earlier that week, he shot 77 three-pointers in a row without missing. 77 three-pointers in a row without missing. When you have that kind of muscle memory, when you have that kind of consistency, when you've been spending that much time making sure and honoring your craft and making sure that everything is as good as it needs to be, when you've been doing that, you can close your eyes and throw one up and it not be luck. There's something about it that there's got to be consistency in our lives, that we've got to make up our mind that even when I'm on the job, that when I show up, I've got to be the best hand that I can be that day. That I can't just take days off and do what I want to do. And I talk to bosses and managers, and they just shake their head and said, you will not believe some of the stuff that we put up with. I imagine if we got Brother Dennis up here, he could testify for a while about some of the stuff. People with good jobs, people that are making good money, people that should be protecting that job, but because there's no level of consistency in their life, they're just up, they're down, they're all around, they're everywhere. You never know where they're going to be. You don't know if they're going to be at work. You don't know if they're not going to be at work. You don't know if they're going to show up. You don't know what's going to happen in their life. God chose Noah because of Noah's consistent relationship with him. I imagine there were other people that knew who God was. I imagine there were other people that prayed to God. But it was Noah that his relationship with God was constant. Noah had a relationship with God. Every day he had a relationship with God. Not just when things were good, but when things were bad. He had a relationship with God that when God said there's going to be a rain, you've never seen a rain, but there's going to be a rain, and you need to build a boat. He'd never seen a boat. But because of the consistent relationship that he had with God, he knew the voice of God. Some of us want to know the voice of God. I want God to be able to speak to me. I want God to be able to speak into my life. I want him to be able to give me direction. You can't get direction in him speaking to your life if you don't know what his voice sounds like. And the only way that you can really learn his voice is by constantly getting into his presence. Oh, that's God. Okay, that might be. Oh, wait a minute. That's the same thing that happened yesterday. Oh, I'm in the presence of God. That's what his presence feels like. Oh, I feel like he's speaking into my spirit. That's what that's about. There's got to be a consistency in your walk with God. Well, we say, man, I'm going to start praying every day. And your body says, you don't pray every month. Yeah, right. Some of us can't keep up and pass the old you long enough to get a hold of the new you. We can't keep up and overcome the old you long enough to be able to take hold of the new you. We can't be consistent enough to get up ahead of the old you and to take hold of a new life and something else to create something else. There's got to be a consistency level that says, you know what? I'm going to outrun the old you because there's a new me that's a whole lot better than the one that I'm leaving. That I've got to be consistent because I'm not happy with where I'm at. And the only way I'm going to be able to overcome this is if I find a way to be consistent enough to outrun this old man that I've been wearing. That there's got to be a consistency level to our walk with God. We all know the silly story of the tortoise and the hare. The hair was faster. He was more talented. He had more ability. But what was his problem? He was inconsistent. He could run real fast for a little while, but then he would get distracted. He'd have to go over here and check this out. He'd have to go over there and check that out. Well, I've been good for 6 months, Brother Daniel. I deserve a break. I went to Bible school with a guy. I've been good for 6 months. I deserve a good night out at the bar. Well, he's backslid today. I don't know if you thought he probably was successful or he was a camp speaker this year at camp meeting next week. But no, he's backslid today. And see, if you're going to survive, you've got to be consistent. If you're going to be saved, there's got to be a consistency in our life. Some of us would highly be used of God if there was just some consistency in our lives. That it would blow your mind what God could do in your life if there was just some consistency that was going on in us and through us. We'll do good for a week and I had a young guy the other day, he sent me a message and he doesn't go here, he's in Texas, and he said, I'm going on a Facebook fast for a week. I said, man, that's going to be awesome, man. Yeah, I'm ready for God to use me. I said, yeah, I'm sure a week-long Facebook fast is going to change all of the rest of the stuff you do. I'm sure a week-long Facebook fast is going to fix all, you know, we want to fast Facebook for a week and have a ministry like Paul. And, you know, and Paul had a ministry like Paul because Paul got up every day and made up his mind he was going to be the best Paul that he could be. If I get beat today, I'm still going to get back up. And I'm going to keep cruising at this altitude. If I get left out in the middle of a river or out in the middle of the ocean, the sea today, when I'm getting back up and I'm going to be still cruising at this altitude. The reason that Paul could be used the way that he was used is because he made sure that he kept cruising at the same altitude. That even if there was an air pocket, even if there was a bump, even if there was a mayday for a little while, he was going to get things under control and get it back up to that level again. Because if you're going to be used of God, we've got to have a consistency level. They can go out and find bones and take those bones that are dried and find DNA in those bones. DNA, they can find all kinds of information out just by looking at leftovers of somebody that once lived here at one point in time. They can find out all kinds of information. If they were to be able to autopsy us and they were able to get into our DNA and begin to figure out what was in our DNA, what caused this and what caused that, would they find Jesus anywhere in our DNA? Would they be able to locate in the very being of who we are in our DNA if they would be able to locate, if they would be able to see our relationship with Jesus? See, we don't become like Jesus by just being like Jesus 1 week out of the month. We don't become like Jesus just being like Jesus one Sunday out of the week. The way that we get it into our DNA, the way that we change, the way that we become more like him, the way that we're going to walk on streets of gold one day, it's not in 1 week, out the next, not jump back, but it's having a consistent altitude of saying, God, this is our cruising altitude. This is where I'm going to live. And if something happens, I'm going to bring it back up to this level. If I stumble and fall, I'm going to bring it back up to this level because I've got to have a consistent relationship with God. Some of us are tormented and so frustrated, and it's almost might as well just give up. And it has nothing to do with your ability. It has nothing to do with how much God loves you. It has nothing to do with the call of God on your life. It has nothing to do with what God wants to do in our lives. It has everything to do with the consistently level that we live at. And it doesn't, everybody in this room, whatever God wants to do in your life, it's not unobtainable. It's not unattainable. what God wants to do in your life, what he wants to give you, it is not unattainable. It just takes consistency. It takes just keep living for God. It takes just showing up. It takes making up your mind that every Sunday, every Wednesday, it takes making up your mind that every day that I get up, I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to live to this level. If I show up down at the convenience store and the little lady that's checking out my Pepsi likes to take her grimy hands and rub it all over the place where I'm about to put my mouth, there's a consistency level that smiles and says, Jesus, I love you. And I'm going to stay at this cruising altitude, even though I'm about to have to put my mouth where her nasty, grimy hands just were. And why? There's got to be a cruising altitude. Said, hey, no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, I got to keep that cruising altitude. I got to keep it at that level. You've got to figure out where you want to go in God. You've got to figure out how great you want your relationship with him to be. And you've got to get it to that level, and you've got to do everything you can to keep it at that level. Are you going to be at that level every day? No, but if you miss a day, I got to get it back up on Tuesday. If something happened on Wednesday and you're ready to give somebody a high five to the face, I got to get it back up. I do Mayday, Mayday on Wednesday. I got to get it back up on Thursday because I've got to get a consistency level in my life because I want to be saved. I want my family to be saved. I want to be what God wants me to be. And it's not going to be just by one great event after another. It's going to be taking care of the small things every day. Every day. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, God, that you would challenge us to raise our altitude. I ask you right now, Jesus, Lord, that as we sit in this room today, God, that every person in this room, there's something that you desire to do in every one of our lives. Lord God, that we would raise our level of commitment, that we would raise our level in our walk with you, that there would be a consistency level that says, God, if something goes on, you don't have to worry about me because you'll know exactly where I'm at. I'm still at the same cruising altitude. If somebody says something bad about me, you don't have to worry about me, God. I'm still going to be at the same cruising altitude. If I lose my job, don't worry, God. I'm not going to go on a binge. I'm still going to be cruising at the same altitude. Hallelujah. And the only way that that happens is by consistency. When things go bad, you're still living the same life. You and your bride getting a little bit of an argument, it doesn't change whether or not you're going to pray or not. It doesn't change whether or not you're still going to read your Bible that day. It doesn't change whether or not you're going to still be living for God that afternoon. It's because I've made a decision that I'm cruising at a certain altitude, and this is where I live, and this is where, and in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 9 and 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So I fight, I says, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. This is Paul saying, this is the altitude that I cruise at. I'm not running with uncertainty. I'm not fighting something that's not even there. This is where I live. This is what I'm doing because I'm going to be saved in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. You want to be used of God? Be consistent. You want God to be able to do something awesome in your life? Be consistent. You want to learn the voice of God? You want to know the voice of God? Be consistent. Oh, he'll talk to you. He'll spend time with you. But you have to have a level of consistency in your life. In Jesus' name.